Indigenous people living in regional rural Australia typically have higher rates of road accidents and fatalities, which can also lead to higher incarceration rates. A recent survey led by researchers from the University of New South Wales, Sydney, the George Institute and the University of Wollongong highlighted the need for more driving and road safety education for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, as well as looking at the barriers that Indigenous drivers face. Brendan Phillips has more.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people living in regional areas of Australia experience limited access to road safety and driving services. According to New South Wales Bureau of Crime and Research, in 2018, 54 Indigenous men and women were held in custody in New South Wales alone over traffic offences. Professor Patricia Cullen, Research Fellow at the School of Public Health and Community Medicine at the University of New South Wales, explains some of the challenges that Indigenous drivers face.
And while the data isn't 100% clear, we know that there are specific barriers that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people face to getting a driver's licence. And some of these barriers can include access to identity documents, so birth certificates, proof of residence, that kind of thing. And then there's also issues in terms of gaining access to a car and a supervisor to do supervised driving practice.
Cullen explains that programs implemented by government services is a major way to overcome these barriers.
Another one of the issues can be around the cost of licence testing fees, licensing fees, professional driving lessons, which are quite expensive as well. And then some issues around preparing for the learner test.
One of these programs is the Indigenous Driver Licensing Program located in Cairns that aims to reduce unlicensed driving in remote and Indigenous communities in far north Queensland. These areas include Cape York, the Gulf and Torres Strait Islands. Barry Lee, an instructor from the Indigenous Driving Licensing Unit in Cairns, is involved in the program and says that one major challenge he helps overcome is the lack of services available.
Basically, it was set up to combats the a lot of the communities with where there is no Department of Transport, and obviously no Department of Transport, so there's no way for them to get their licences, especially their learner licences, and go through to their provisionals. And of course we go up to heavy vehicle licences, just up to HR and HC.
Not having a licence also directly affects the ability to work, Lee explains.
It certainly opened up a lot of opportunities for them. Obviously, when you look at any job, whether it be mainstream or Indigenous, it's a massive plus is having your licence. So it opens up a whole new realm of opportunities for them with regards to jobs that they can actually go for.
One major challenge for these services, however, is government funding.
I mean, with any government department, with any agency, it's always a problem with the funding. But look, we make do with what we've got, and we look at the difference we make within the communities out there.
Professor Cullen again explains the need for funding in providing these services.
What needs to happen, though, is that we need to make sure that communities have ownership over these types of programs, and that there's strong engagement from the outset, and also that the funding is sustainable and long-term, so that communities don't spend time and resources establishing these programs only to lose funding and have the program closed down. That's really vital.
While work is being done, Cullen states that there needs to be more of a focus on acquiring identification for Indigenous Australians accurately.
It's really imperative that there's collection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander identification accurately in state licensing databases. So to my knowledge, at this point in time, only New South Wales collects that information, but that's really important across states.
Professor Patricia Cullen from the School of Public Health and Community Medicine at the University of New South Wales, ending that report by Brendan Phillips.